may be seated. The scripture that really came out to me this morning was in Exodus chapter 32, verse 11. It says, Exodus chapter 32, verse 11. If you don't have a Bible, we have got some Bible that was given to us, and you can feel free to use it. And here's in Exodus 32, verse 11, it says, "Then Moses entreated the Lord his God and said, 'O Lord, why does your anger burn against your people, whom you have brought out from the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand?'" Say, great power and a mighty hand. You know, as I was contemplating on this scripture, Moses was making intercession with God for the people. Moses was entreating with the Lord, it says. He was making intercession. And what did he go to God with? He said, "God, your hand, your mighty work, and your great power that you have done." So he basically recounted the blessings. He basically went before God and he told them the testimony. "Look, this is what you have done for your people. Look, you have brought them out of darkness. Look, you've brought them out of slavery of 400 years. Look, you have given them the blessing, gold and silver. Look what you have given them, land that they have never even earned for it. Look, they have given them milk and honey." But things, and he started telling God the mighty works and the great works you have done. And if you read the scripture further down later, in verse 14 it says, "So the Lord changed his mind about the harm which he said he would do to his people." I am believing this morning, when we begin to share our little testimony right now, God will begin to hear your heart and God will begin to say, "I've changed my mind. I was about to do something different. I was about to release it maybe 10 years later, but I'm going to do it now. I'm going to do it now. I'm going to bring it now." And I just so feel this urge in my spirit that if you have your circumstances, you bring it before you right now, as Marina is going to share her testimony. You bring it before you right now, and you begin to say, "God, if you can do it for Marina, you can do it for me." So Marina, I'm going to ask you to share the testimony, what God has put in your heart.
You know, the prophetic, we all love the prophetic, right? Because the prophetic says, "Call forth the things that are not as if they are." And that is all we are supposed to do. But many of us are struggling and striving and trying to get things done, but it's speaking into what you want. And this morning, Faustin actually asked me to share some of the things the Lord has done in our life. And I said, "Faustin, what do I share? Because it's so... every day we are seeing things happening in our life." And basically what came to my heart is, when you're in the will of God, you will see his blessings. And those blessings, I'll tell you, are blessings you cannot contain. Before I go to my testimony, I know Akemi doesn't like to share, but you know, I'm going to take her by surprise. 2 weeks ago, or maybe a few days ago, I'm not going to call you forward, Acme, but I'm going to share this. She was driving, and before she knew, she hit a 16-year-old on a bike. So she got off her car, and she said, "Let's call the cops." She called the cops, and she began to pray. And after everything was settled, you know what the cops said to her? "You can go free." He said this, "You can go free. The boy made a mistake. He actually, I think, went against her light." But see, when you're in the will of God, how God takes care of us. And this morning when I was in the intercession, the Lord said, "Share these little testimonies where many of us, you know, I don't see Faustin as a little... you know, he brings you forward. I was in that place where I was gripped by fear, very hesitant to come forward and testify. So when you share something with me, I usually don't bring you forward, but I know, you know, Revelations 12:11. What does Revelations 12:11 says? They were overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Revelation 2 is all about God's judgment, you know, against the enemy. And that is what it says. So, you know, I'm going to switch my testimony and say something else that I was going to share, because this word came to me. And just sharing Akemi's testimony, where sometimes, you know, we are a little hesitant. We all love to. I know so many of you have started. We want to do it. And we are saying, come forward and do it. So in 2001, there was someone who was praying over me. And he was praying over me and he said, Marina, I see you are so gripped by fear. You are so gripped by fear. And probably yes, because I myself, I never knew. But I'm going to just go back a little, ahead. That morning we were in church, lovely service we had, and this happened on the Saturday evening, the word that was given to me. So Faustin said, Marina, are you ready to testify? I said, no, Faustin, don't even take me in front. If you're taking me in front, I'm not coming to church. I'm not going to do this. This is way back in 2001. And Faustin said, no, Marina, why don't you do it? Because it's so important for you to testify. I immediately felt something lifted off me when the speaker spoke that word over my life. He said, Marina, I see fear being lifted off you. And I just took that word in my heart. So morning, I refused to testify at the Sunday service. So we come home and there's an evening service that evening. So I said, thank you, Lord. You know, now Faustin, I didn't do it that morning. And we come home and we're having our lunch. And Faustin said, Marina, you're going to testify this evening. I said, Faustin, no, I'm not coming to church this evening. I'm not going to testify because I still had a part of fear in my life. And Faustin said, Marina, do it, Marina. So we took a little nap. We come to our car. This is a 2-year-old car, brand new car. And I said, okay, Faustin, let's go to church. I'm not ready to testify, but let's go to church. And I thought I'll go to church, and again, I'll have my way over there. And Faustin goes to start the car. And what do you think? Brand new car won't start. See how the enemy works in our life. We don't want to talk about him, right? But he's there. So Faustin said, hold on. He goes into the house. He said, I'm not wasting my time with the car. We had a friend that lived in the neighborhood. And he called up the friend and he said, you know, are you going to church this evening? And he said, maybe, maybe not. And Faustin said, you know, my car just broke down. Can you please take Marina and me to church? The persistent guy, right? Faustin's so persevering. And I said, oh Lord, okay. And I go to church. And I'm sitting and I'm trembling. I'm not going to testify, Faustin, no. And then what do you think? John Arnott comes up. And John Arnott, as usual, says, anyone has any testimonies over here to give? Faustin said, Marina, go. And I said, Faustin, I'm not going. And he said, Marina, go, Marina. I'm telling you, go. And of course, I thank the Lord sometimes, you know, for Faustin, because I always say, you know, how many of us say, we both think differently, but there have been good things in our life where, you know, that I say, Lord, thank you that we both didn't think the same. Can you imagine if we both thought the same, what would happen, where we would be today? And what do you think? He says, I'm going to walk up with you. And he holds my hand and he comes forward. And I'll tell you, I testified against the enemy, and that day fear was completely lifted off my life. I'll tell you, today there is absolutely no fear. And the Lord, you know, over the years,
thank you Jesus,
the Lord took me, and I've shared it with the quiet of you, and I'm believing right now that is what the Lord is doing in your life. Fear is being lifted off. I love this verse in the Bible, and the Lord kept speaking to me, and it's in Mark where the Lord says, right, the word says, have faith as tiny as a mustard seed and speak to the mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and that mountain will be moved. So what does the Lord say? Have faith as tiny as a mustard seed. And I began to think, now what if we have fear as tiny as a mustard seed? What is it going to do in our life? And I began to, you know, distinguish. And I said, I'm not going to carry any fear. This fear, I'm speaking to you and I'm saying, be lifted off. And every time fear came into my life, I spoke faith. And you know, when the Lord says, as tiny as a mustard seed, see, for God, He's asking you to have little faith, and that little faith is going to move mountains in your life. Isn't it such a blessing? And just going back, Faustin, to the mustard seed, I read actually, I don't remember his name, but I read the book on the mustard seed. And you know, the mustard seed, it grows in Israel. And it's a seed, it's so tiny. How many of you have seen it? It's as tiny as the point of a needle. I believe that seed, even if it's thrown under a huge rock and it's not watered, it'll grow and it grows wild. That's what the Lord is talking to us. So I'm going to give it over to Faustin.
Well, I think if you are in this room and you have fear in some area of your life, you know, don't be afraid, don't be ashamed. That's what the enemy is trying to do. You know, you're trying to suppress yourself and say, oh, I'm not going to stand for this. But I'm asking you boldly today, if you have fear in things that you want to do but you cannot do, I want you to stand. Things that you feel that you have not come to pass in your life, I just want you to stand. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Thank you,
Jesus. Father, we just come to you right now. We come in agreement. Mm-hmm. Maureen and I come in agreement right now, Father. Yes, you Father. Promised me, Father. Mm-hmm. You said to me, Father, that share your testimony and I'll release breakthrough in this room, Father. Mm-hmm. Father, I'm asking for you right now, Father, for every person who's standing right now, Father, as they are standing in the place of expectation, Father, because you're a God who gives more than abundantly, Father. I'm asking for every person who's standing right now, Father, every fear of whatever that they may be standing for, Father, be lifted off right now, right now, right now. Kingdom of God, come right now. Will of God be done right now. And I break off that spirit of fear off this room right now. Of this room right now. Yes. Spirit of fear, I command you to leave their life right now. Leave their right now. I speak to their destiny. I speak to your future. I speak to the things that you've been holding for, you've been waiting for, things that you've been seeking for, and the spirit of fear has been holding you back. I command you, spirit of fear, go away from their life right now. And I call you, each and every one of you in this room, I call you to get into that place what you've been hoping to get into for many, many years. I call you into that. I'm asking you right now, take two steps forward right now where you're standing right now. Say, I am going to do the thing that what has been causing me not to do. Take two steps wherever you are right now. By faith, hope for the things, believe for the things that you have not seen right now, and you will receive it in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. You may be seated. I'm asking you to believe. Mark 11:24 says, believe, pray, ask, believe, and expect, and God can do it for you. I want to share with you a very quick testimony that God did with Maureen and I. I'm just going to sort of wrap it up very quickly. Maureen and I were born in India. We lived a good part of our life in India. And God, we were Catholics and we did our normal life and everything. When we came to North America, because we were going through some family issues, you know, and we didn't want to sacrifice our marriage for the sake of our family, you know. And so we said, God, well, we didn't even pray that time the way we knew we would have to pray, the way we pray today. But we were Catholics. We knew the Lord. We told him, Jesus, you know, what we do. And we took some bold steps, Maureen and I. And we just said, okay, we're going to go to North America for better life. And we came to America for better life. And I was a student. And down the road, Maureen joined me. And a great job. Both of us had a wonderful job. But the visas came to an end. And when the visa came to an end, we thought, okay, well, I think our time's up, and we got to go home. And we knew the visa wasn't going to be renewed because my education was done. And just about that year when we were thinking about to pack our bag and go back to India, a friend of mine from Toronto called me, and he said, hey, I'm in Toronto, so-and-so thing, and this and that. And I started talking to him, and he said, have you thought of applying to Canada? And we said, no, we never expected it and whatnot, but we'll try. And so Marina has a master's in her master's degree, and so she qualified. Her points were much stronger than mine. And so on her basis, we applied, and we got our residency in 4 months. In 4 months. Okay.
When they actually said it would take about a year.
A year and a half. We were just, we followed the mentor, but in 4 months we got it. And not only that, when we came in, I used to work for Holiday Inn, Marina used to work for Sears. They both gave us a transfer letter, found us a place where we can get a job, and we both had a job when we came to Mississauga. Marina, I worked for the Holiday Inn on Sheridan Way, you know, as a manager, and Marina worked for Sears in Erin Mills Parkway. Just like that, we both got a job, you know. And so I'm just kind of quickly walking you through. Here we are, you know, both got a job. We bought our first home, and we got all settled, and everything was great. We still do not know the Lord. Just keep that in mind at the side. We still do not know the Lord. I'm still having my nice little joyful life and having fun with everything that life could consist of, you know. And all of a sudden, there's a turn happens in our finances. Because we had two little children, we make a little decision of switching our job. So I have done some financial auditing before. So I take a big pay cut and I go become a financial auditor for our organization. And Marina's still holding on to the job. All of a sudden, recession broke out and they lay a whole bunch of people in Marina's company. And Marina happens to be one of them and she loses a job as well. So here we are down from 100% to 20% pay in our hand. And I said, oh, God, what happened? Well, we just got a brand new home. How do we do it? What do we do? Now listen to this. We still do not know the Lord. Okay? Somehow I had to go back, find my regular job. And going back, try researching, I find myself a job at Travelodge Hotel right at the airport. And I get back my regular job. And if you watch how God brought us out of India, brought us to America, brought us to Canada, and brought us to closer to a place where revival was going on. Okay, so catch this, how God does it, okay? And then, you know the whole story, how God really demonstrated his power right in the hotel. You guys all know the story, right? I've shared with many of you. How many don't know the story? Okay, just a few of you. Okay, I'll kind of wrap it up. God demonstrated the power of the Holy Spirit in a breakfast room where there was anointing flowing. People were just getting under the power. And I was the manager on duty, and I saw some strange things happening, people shaking, trembling, falling, and I didn't understand it. I said, this is something really strange. What is going on? And to cut the story short, I got drawn to find out what is happening, and Marina and I and our boys, we went on Easter Sunday to Toronto Airport Christian Fellowship. And we met the Lord for the first time in the year April of 1998. Now, here's the part I want you to pay attention. When we did not know the Lord, he did so much for us. How much more will he do when you know the Lord? And that's what I recognized when the Holy Spirit started speaking to me about the power of testimony. I said, God, I did not know you, and you did all these great things for me. How much will you do more when I know you now? That's what I want to give you today, this morning. If you are in this room, every one of us are saved in this room. If you're not giving your life to the Lord, well, we're going to give you an opportunity. But just think of this. If the Holy Spirit was after Marina and I, and he had a plan and a destiny, if you follow God's will, God will follow you. God will provide you. God will chase you. In the Bible, says when you live in the midst of the sin, he died for you. And he will bring everything to clarity. You know, I was just listening to an amazing tape by Matthew Henry, I think it is. He says, our will is a small circle. God's will is a big circle. And we constantly, we try to take our will and go to God and convince God to confirm that, can you do what I really desire? So we take our little circle and we try to pull the big circle towards us. And we try to say, God, can you come and do this for me? I really desire to do this. I've run out of time. But I'll tell you this. If you read the book of in 2 Kings 18 to 21, Hezekiah, from the family line of David, he was, well, you can have a seat now. I know she wanted us. Hezekiah, he prays to the Lord and great things, mighty things happens in his life and does amazing, wonderful things God did in his life. If you read from 2 Kings chapter 18 to verse 21, 18 to 21, amazing things. But here's what happened. As the Bible says, Hezekiah became really ill and was at the point of death. And he said, Oh God, I'm not ready to die. I'm not ready to die. And what did he do? He called Isaiah and had him pray for him. And God sent him back and said, tell him I'm going to go give him 15 more years. After doing all these amazing things, I think for almost 29 years he was a king. And he said, I want more life. I want more, God. Can you do this for me? And God gave him another 15 years. But if you go down and read further, his son, there was a son born to him by the name of Manasseh. And Manasseh was turned out to be the most evil king of his time for almost 53 years. He brought curse to the land of Israel. He brought this and that. God knew already ahead of time that who he was going to bring into the world and what could happen. And so what I'm trying to say to you is that our will is a little circle. And we try to go capture our desire and saying, God, and we throw it into a circle and say, God, can you just accept this and do this for me? But look at the other way around. If you say, God, what is your will for me? And I want to close with this. Not too long ago, I probably shared this. Not too long ago, Marina, at least I was definitely searching, and I say, God, what is your will for me, God? What do you want to do with me? What is your life for me? Where are you going to take me, God? And God started telling me, go back to your journal, because I journal when every time God speaks to me, and read from the year 2009 and find out what I have done for you and what I have planned for you. So I started reading it. And as I started reading it, at one point, it said over there in Isaiah 55 verse 5, I've called you to the nation. I've summoned you to the nation. Nations will come to you. And I got all excited. Wow, I'll be traveling again and I'll be doing all that stuff. You know, all those who travel, like, you know how you feel, like, okay. I love planes, by the way. You know, I'm like, I want to do all that good stuff again. And I got all excited. And the Lord said to me, go back and read verse 6, son. I started reading verse 6. He said, seek me while I may be found. Spend time with me. Because until I become in you, until I dwell in you, John 15, until I dwell in you and you become in me and we become one, you cannot go to the nations. See, and then I knew, okay, God, you're right. But you know, part of me, I'm a human being like you. I'm not fully convinced what God is kind of saying, and I'm still like trying to get my own little circle towards him. I'm trying to bring him down a little bit. Come on, you know, I want to do this. And I went down to my basement and I went to get a book, and this tape was there, a prophetic tape that Ivan and Isabel Allam had given us in 2004, when Marina and I both did leader school. And she gave a prophetic word, you know, you listen to it, you're nice, and you put it away. And I said, let me just listen to it. I just want to see what God has said, and maybe. And everything she said, most of them are almost fulfilled. One of the things Ivan said, Faustin, do you know you've been called to church planting? And I, on that tape, laughed at him because I wasn't a pastor back then. And I said, no, not me. I'm not a pastor. I don't think I'll do church planting. And he said, no, I see you planting a church in the west side of the Toronto. And we planted one in Brampton. We planted one here. And we planted one in Hamilton. And exactly what God said happened. With Marina, he said, she said, I'm going to see you going into counseling. In 2004, we didn't know anything about counseling. And here she got an opportunity, a door opened. She did a counseling school for 8-9 months. Now she's certified as a professional counselor. And God did exactly what he did. And I knew in my spirit, God, we are finally in the perfect will of God. I knew it, I knew it, I knew it. So I want to encourage you this morning. Let's all stand. I ran out of time, so I really don't have ministry time. I mean, don't have more to share. Otherwise, I really wanted to talk a lot, which I know you like. Everybody's quiet. Nobody said anything. James 4 is where I really felt the Holy Spirit want to minister to us today. I'm just going to quickly read it to you. James 4 says, come now, verse 13, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Let me read it again. This is what man thinks. James is saying, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. I'm going to stop there for a minute. You know, we all have a little plans. You know, let's do this and let's do that and let's think of this and let's think of that. Let's think of that. And we try to have our own little agenda and we try to run with it. And we say, God, bless it. Bless it. We do that. How many agree with me on that? Right? Because say, God, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do this. And I have done it. And I still sometimes do it. I say, God, now can you bless it? Because this is what I want to do. This is what I want to happen. And look what it says further down. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You and I have no clue what your life is in store, what my life and your life is in store for tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Let's pause and think for a moment. It's good to have a vision. It's good to dream. It's good to plan. But if your little circle, your little will is causing you to think, well, I can do this and I can do that, and you expect God to just pull his hand out of the sky of heaven and just bless it and make it happen. If it is not God's will, you better don't pray for it. If it is not the purpose of God, you do not want something what Hezekiah did. He brought into the earth a son named Manasseh who took the entire Israelites into evil worship. So when you pray, when you ask God, how do I know my perfect will for God? Your prayer life will cause you to see the perfect will of God. As you begin to meditate on God's word, this book will cause you to see God's will for your life. This book will allow you to experience God's will for your life. If you do not have a prayer life, if you do not spend time with God every day, you are like one of them as a vapor. You will be here today and you'll be gone tomorrow. Your money will be with you today and your money will be gone tomorrow. Your dreams will be with you today and it'll be gone tomorrow. Your little agenda will be with you today and it'll be gone tomorrow. Give your little circle, your little will to that big circle. That's God. Because his will is what you need in your life, not your will. And I'll just close with this. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that. So I want you to close your eyes for a moment. And I want you to take time with the Holy Spirit, including myself. What is your number one thing that you have in your little circle that you really want God to bless it? If it's God's will, he will bless it. And even if it's not God's will, he will still bless it. Because that's what you desire. But if it doesn't come in alignment with God's will, then we don't want a Manasseh story. So Holy Spirit, I'm asking you right now. revealed to my family, to our family right here, your perfect will. What is your will that they need to know, that they need to see? What is your perfect will? If we as an earthly parents know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more our Heavenly Father can bless you. So don't think, oh my goodness, I just had this big dream, it's just going to be crushed. But you will be in shock what God can do with you. Your little circle, you can just give it to God right now. And you can say, Lord, I surrender my will to you this morning. Lord, I surrender my purpose to you this morning. I surrender my dreams to you this morning. I surrender my desire to this morning. So just do it in your own words right now. In your own words. In your own words. One of the ministry that I like doing is empower you to minister by the power of the Holy Spirit. The cross of Jesus is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is not just me saying two prayers, but the work of the Spirit that's in you will do the work in you, not me. I'm just a messenger boy. But he is the one who's ministered to you right now. Father, I release your perfect will in their life right now. Father, I ask you to release an anointing. I just feel a strong anointing all over me. I release an anointing of perfect will to be revealed to them, Father. Perfect will, Father, download in them. Download in them. Perfect will, Father. Perfect will, Father. As you live, Father, let your will be released to them right now. As you live, Father, we choose to believe, Father, that in these coming days you will show the family your perfect will. You will release an anointing. You will cause them to be caught up like as you called me to do it, as you asked me to do it. You will allow them to see your perfect will. I bless you, church. I bless you, family. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Holy Spirit.